Episode 34 of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys for listening. On this show, we have Cycle Trader Rock River Yamaha's team manager, Christina Denny, on to talk about Supercross. Heading into outdoors this weekend, it's Hangtown. We talk about the prep and the goals for that. We also talked to her about how she came into this role as team manager of Rock River and really built this team from the ground up and into one of the premier 250 teams out there in the paddock. After that, we'll have privateer rider Dustin Winter on, number 332. He's made his rookie season debut in Supercross this year, made the main in Daytona, and actually bumping up to the 450 class for outdoors. So we talked to him about, you know, traveling the country, racing his dirt bike every weekend, and growing up in Kansas, racing guys like Kevin Moranz and Austin Faulkner. Real cool dude. As always, huge thanks to our sponsors, Blood Lubricant. Can't stress enough how high quality their products are, from racing lubricants, degreaser, chain lube. They have it all, everything you could ever want. Check it out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com. And make sure to use the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. So no excuses. Make sure to visit their site. As always, huge shout out to Risk Racing as well. Makers of high quality motocross products, riskracing.com. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All right, showtime. On the line with me right now is the team manager of Cycle Trader Rock River Yamaha. It's Christina Denny. How are you?
Hey, Kurt. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Excited to get this going. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, hey, Supercross season just ended. You get a little week break there, but had some good rides with, you know, Jacob Hayes. Obviously, kind of a bummer. Got injured there at the end. Hart Ramp was put in top five at the end, and even Ryan Breach, your fill-in 450 guy, was starting to put in some good results there too. Are you happy with the way the season went?
Yeah, like you said, I wasn't. You know, I was bummed for Jacob, but fortunately, it's nothing that's going to put him out for, you know, any longer. We have him lining up in Hangtown, so that was the idea. For him not to race Denver and Vegas. So, you know, getting ready for him. And then, yeah, I was, Brandon had an exceptional Supercross. I think the beginning was a little rough, but not really due to him. And just we wanted to, give him the best that we could. And it just, in the beginning, just didn't work out as good. But, and then Ryan, yeah, he put in, you know, it's hard to come on, you know, it was early on in the season for 450, but it's hard to come on to a team environment when you've been kind of a solo guy for a while. But he did good.
Yeah. Brees is an interesting one for me, and especially really good. He got really good starts at the end of the year, put in the top 15 for the last three rounds. Obviously a fill in for Matt Bishelia, who struggled in the beginning with some injuries and probably wasn't quite 100% coming in. What made you guys like choose Brees? What stood out to you about him?
Well, I think immediately he was already on the Yamaha 450, which was, you know, something I looked for right away. And then, you know, seeing what he did on his own right away with the, you know, putting results in at A1, and I heard he was just a super guy, you know, super nice guy through some connections that we had. He was, you know, been a Moose rider for gear through Arena Cross, and just a lot of people kind of putting in a lot of good work for him. So I really didn't make any other calls, you know, looking for somebody else. And as soon as I called him, you know, it was, you know, not like I was struggling trying to find somebody. he definitely took advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, and that's, like you mentioned, he was already on Yamaha, had the Moose gear. It was kind of like the perfect fit, and it really did end up working out, put that, you know, Cycle Trader bike right up front. But a little more about you, Christina, something I, you know, want to talk to you about is how did you come into this role as team manager of the Cycle Trader Rock River team?
Well, it really, I don't want to use the word like it fell into my lap, because it wasn't even that. It wasn't ever intended to be this in the beginning, but in 2009, when the owner of the team decided to put together a pro team effort after being so involved on the amateur side, he asked my husband and I to be involved with the graphics and, you know, helping with wrap the semi and, you know, provide graphics for the bikes and whatnot. And so, just turn of events, it didn't go as planned for the owner, and the trailer, everything was in our hands in December, middle of December in Georgia. And he was left without a driver and kind of was like at this little mind, you know, like, where do we go? And then we just kind of took over that whole business side and management side and said, well, we'll get it there, you know. And then with the efforts that Louis Pike and Weston had already put together on their end to, you know, get the bike side, mechanical side, the sponsor side, like, we had nothing to do with that. And so we just kind of joined our efforts together and started, you know, just going to the races. And it just turned into, just after, really with the help of Yamaha and the whole racing department, said, okay, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. And so kind of just took me under their wing and said, let's help you and, you know, obviously see where this goes. I'm sure they're still shocked. This is our 10th season and that it would ever get this far, but they saw, you know, they saw what we could offer. And obviously the relationship with Rock River, with Yamaha, just, you know, they wanted to see it succeed, and here we are 10 years in.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. It's so funny how, you know, stories like that just come up, like one thing leads to another. And, you know, next thing you know, you're traveling 29 weekends out of the year managing a supercross and motocross team.
Yeah. wasn't, you know, and I mean, I've been to pro races, you know, I mean, as a fan, and, you know, watch it, follow it. But I've been to almost every amateur national, local Georgia, Florida races, you know, almost, you know, every weekend prior to this. And my poor RV, like, I'm sitting outside right now looking at it, like, it hasn't moved. And since 2000, I think we took it to Daytona in 2012 or 13, and it's literally sat because it doesn't go anywhere. But got a lot of sky miles, that's for sure.
Yeah, oh, I bet. So you mentioned, you know, started out originally just doing the graphics and the wraps for the truck. You're obviously owner of Roost MX, like I said, graphics, pit shirts, all that deal. What's your, like, background in the sport? When did you first start, or how did you get into motocross in the first place?
Well, my husband raced up until, like, 1994. He was just a local Georgia, you know, having fun weekend warrior. And when I met him in 90, he was not racing and then kind of got right back into it. And right when we first started dating, and we started just going to local races back when you would, you know, camp in the tent and, like, at the back of the truck, and not like in the RVs or anything like today you go to any race. And it was just became part of our lifestyle, like dating. And, you know, eventually we got married in 95. So he stopped racing in 94. But it just kind of was always part of us. And when we started our sign business in 98, we had no intentions of going into the motocross industry. You know, we were actually more on the wakeboarding side, doing a lot of boat stuff, working with a lot of boat vendors and, like, companies like Hyperlite and different things, doing things on that side. And we spent a lot of time on the water. Like, I was competing, we were both competing, wakeboarding and all this stuff. And so when we started the business for the signs, a lot of our customers, you know, we still had contact with and friends, and they started purchasing trailers and you know, RVs and asking us to, you know, design or wrap or, you know, put graphics on. At the time, it wasn't really wrapping. And, you know, we got into it a little bit, and it was a couple of years. We had a few families, and one family in particular, the Crooms, that his son actually, he was 4 or 5 when we met. He now works for us. He's a college student. But they were a big instigator of us going on to the graphic side.
Okay.
And, you know, we were like, you know, so much involved with templates and all this kind of stuff. And we said, you know, we'll put our toes in the water a little bit and see how it goes. And we were like, oh, we'll just start off with minis. Make it easy, right? Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, we're like doing every bike, every size. And, you know, it just kind of grew. And, you know, it's probably just equal part of our business. Then it's not a little side business. It's, you know, we're all under one roof. Mm-hmm. We have one building, and we also do a lot of go-kart stuff, race car stuff. So we dabble into a little bit of everything, but the sign company and the motocross side, they're probably equally as, you know, up there when it comes to like sales and whatnot.
Okay. So you're all in on the racing and the action sports. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. We're going to start, tipping our toes into like the BMX stuff here, I think shortly, maybe the next year. And, you know, there's just a lot of the stuff that we offer, cross brands from, you know, go-karts to race cars to, you know, BMX and of course moto, and just a lot of things that a lot of companies don't offer under one roof. You know, we do a lot of things that multiple different companies do, but bringing it to the industries that they haven't seen before, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, to be able to give, you know, especially families with young kids and, you know, just having their name and number on a hat or a backpack or, you know, a trailer, it's definitely, and that's what's really kind of brought me into the whole moto industry, mm-hmm. was the family stuff to begin with. And seeing these families, mom and dad or mom or dad or grandparents at the track with these kids every weekend. And that's really what attracted me to begin with, other than my husband racing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that goes for a lot, saying for a lot of people. Like, I know I love riding dirt bikes. I love racing dirt bikes. But the part that makes me love it the most is hanging out with all my friends that do it and hanging out with my family, camping out on the weekends in the races and stuff like that. I think that's kind of why everyone loves it.
Yeah, I do miss that aspect of it. And, you know, I think going into outdoors, I mean, granted, I don't stay at the track. Like, some of the drivers mm-hmm. will stay at the trucks and, like, hang out and put a fire on and go fishing. And that's what they look forward to. I mean, it's a whole lot more mess, but they get to experience kind of like the outdoors and that side when you go to these national races. And, you know, obviously we're in and out, we're in a hotel, so we don't really get to experience that. And I mean, I do wish that sometimes I could have an RV mm-hmm. to travel through the outdoors, that, you know, we could experience, you know, that, but you're there all day and you're kind of hot, and so you just want to go home and take a shower at the hotel.
Yeah.
And get a nice dinner too. So kind of both sides.
Yeah. It's a toss up there. But so 2009 team, you know, got its start. It's grown a ton, over the last couple of years. Obviously adding CycleTrader as a title sponsor is huge, and you guys have really had a lot of great riders on. When did CycleTrader come on, and how much did that help to have like a real, like a big title sponsor?
That was huge. They came on in 2014, was our first season with them, but they we signed the contract November of 2013, so right before the 14 season. So we had, 6 weeks to rebrand everything and get ready for that 14th season. But it made a world of difference when it comes to we weren't like, okay, right away we're going to go out and sign a big rider, because we could have. But, you know, Alex Martin was riding for us already, and, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, we could have bought a nicer trailer or, you know, hired all these people, but we just put the money into the bike. Mm-hmm. And we said, okay, listen, this is a great opportunity, but we have to make this last. Let's put the money into the bikes. Let's give Alex and the riders, you know, whatever they need to succeed. And that the, what's going to happen is they're going to succeed, we're going to look good, and it's just going to grow. And it really has panned off. Up to that time, the driver was the only person on the team with a salary.
Okay.
I was not making any money. The riders at the time, like, they had their own mechanics. The, you know, we paid for, like, some of their travel, but it wasn't even close to what it was. So we said, let's just, we have to play this smart. And, you know, a lot of teams are different, you know, and different even fields, they could have said, okay, we're going to take all this money and we're just going to, like, buy all this stuff.
Yeah.
And we're going to look really good. We're going to, like, look like we are a, you know, $2 million team, $5 million team. And we didn't. I mean, we kept the same trailer actually for two more years, and we were just due for a new trailer. So we, I found one, and, you know, I mean, I was really budgeting and keeping everything as, you know, budget friendly and running it like a business. I hired, a crew chief who's still with us today, Scott Raybon. I, you know, I brought him out of retirement and said, you know, I need good bikes. What do we need to do? And we went down different avenues, and we ultimately ended up where we are today with Yoshimura, and couldn't be happier. And, you know, what's cool about Yoshimura, obviously, like, I think most people think of them as, like, you know, Honda or Suzuki, yeah, right? It's like they're not really a Yamaha brand. And they built us just these great bikes. And I think, and, you know, and what's really cool is that, like, any customer, an amateur rider or a pro rider, they could call and talk to them and order a bike that's comparable or same as what we do now. And so they're developing something for us, but it's that you turn around and it's also for them on the retail side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that a lot of things, you know, a lot of companies or a lot of teams are not able to offer and promote and to be able to get other people on board with the same engine package. And so I'd like to see that grow a little bit more for them. And especially this year, because it's the new bike for, you know, the 250, and it's, you know, we're have now developed and we're where we want to be. And so for future years, like, we're just, it's going to continue to get better.
Yeah. And I really like how you talked about, you could have went and spent all this money to make yourself look like this big team, or you could have went out and signed that rider, but you really put all the money back in your program, back in your bikes. And like you said, it's really shown. Obviously Alex Martin, really came on your team, as well as, like, Colt Nichols, and now Hart Ramp Hayes. I'm really excited to watch them outdoors, and they had some really good rides in Supercross season. So what I want to ask you is, what do you look for when you sign these guys? And is it your decision? Is it Yamaha's decision? Or is it kind of like a collective group effort?
I would definitely say it's a collaboration between myself and our crew chief and the owner. And, you know, we generally kind of, between the three and four of us with my husband, we, you know, we try to narrow it down, but also then, you know, we do, you know, go to Yamaha and get their opinion. And, you know, they've never, like, said, no, you can't have that guy because, you know, whatever. So, you know, they're, you know, I do value their opinion, so we always go to them. But for us, you know, the premises of the Rock River program in the beginning was to help their amateur riders, Rock Rivers, go pro. And so this was a trailer to house that rider. You know, they never, like, you know, paid money or anything like that to be on the team, but they had to cover their expenses coming out of the amateurs if they didn't get that, you know, team deal. And that was, you know, what it was for the first 3 years, 4 years. And then Alex was actually the first rider that wasn't part of that, you know, scenario. And so Alex, being the veteran rider, you know, he really came on and was at a point where struggling with what he had. You know, it could have been a breaking point for him in his career, whether do I just give up on this and move on, or, you know, do I give this another opportunity? And I think when he came on with us, you know, he actually helped us build the program in the sense of, like, with the engine. And, you know, he didn't do the development of it, but he encouraged us, and we, you know, we saw it in him, like, this guy is giving everything he can, we're going to do the same. So, you know, that helped. And then obviously it attracted other writers, maybe outside of this amateur program. But the last few guys, you know, from Bradley Taft and Luke Renzlin, Brandon Hartraft, and, you know, Justin Cooper was one of these guys that were all amateur under the Blue Crew out of our amateur team.
Okay.
So, you know, but I had a, you know, I had a big involvement choosing those riders for that program because, you know, I wanted to be able to say, okay, hey, these are good amateur riders that deserve an opportunity. And, you know, if we could give them something here, and obviously like Justin Cooper, you know, Star had interest in him as an amateur. And so he was able to go there right away. And not that Brandon or Bradley were like leftovers, but it was, there's just not enough room for everybody. So I got so fortunate to be able to take, you know, those guys and Brandon on our program and groom them and get them ready. But I started working with them as amateurs, you know, doing, you know, getting to know them. And you know, we didn't so much do a lot of bike setups. That our amateur team manager is Ed Torrance, and he's great with these guys. And he really does a lot on the amateur side. And then when they come to our team, it's, you know, they're already familiar with the bikes and familiar with kind of how things go. So that just, you know, it's a recipe for success when it comes to moving up to the pros. If you're not having a rider that's experienced like Alex. And Colt was the same thing. He wasn't a Rock River rider, but at that time when we needed a rider, we didn't have anybody moving up. So I called my, you know, good friend Robbie and said, hey, Robbie, I need a rider. And he said, you know, I think you need to give Colt Nichols an opportunity. I didn't have any, you know, I didn't know who he was. And, you know, I researched a little bit and she said, okay, you know, and it obviously panned out for us and for Colt because it enabled him to get an opportunity to move to the Star team. And so, you know, it's, we are a stepping stone, and a lot of people think, okay, don't you get discouraged and don't you hate that when they go and move on, like you work so hard? And it's a success for us. I mean, I don't like losing them, but it's to us, we could step back and say we had a part in their career. We had a part in their success. And that is, you know, rewarding in itself. And we're not a team. We're not a PC or a Star or TLD or anybody that has the funds to be able to, you know, pay for the mechanics during the week and, you know, pay for a salary or pay for these big bonuses. I mean, we're just not that team. So how am I going to, how can I feel bad? You know, I want to see them succeed. And when they do, it's a win for us and win for the team.
Yeah, I was going to ask this. I'm sure it's a little, you know, bittersweet, like watching Alex Martin go on to Star or Colt Nichols go on to Star and then win at Anaheim 1. Like, I'm sure you will like that on your team, but it's also, like you said, you know, your team is kind of like a stepping stone almost. So, like you said, it's a success to see them move on and keep going with their career.
It is. You know, and I think, you know, it's not always like, you know, we can't obviously guarantee what's going to happen for them next, but, you know, we, like Alex and I consider him and Colt, like, they're friends of ours, and, you know, and I think Alex, I think 3 years with us is a long time. You know, if I had a rider for 3 years now, I think that would be a long time, but it, at the same time, he started with us before even Cycle Trader was on board, and so he saw from like nothing to like, okay, here we got some help. Now, you know, let's grow this and let's develop this. And then he was able to benefit because the last year we had great bikes, but we didn't not even close to what we have now. Mm-hmm. So he, from his determination and his will, and said, I'm gonna put my head down and I'm gonna get this done. He did that on his own. I mean, I wish I could give him the opportunity. I would love to see what he could do now with our stuff, you know. But it's kind of good. It's good, and I love seeing them succeed. And, I mean, I also love seeing Brandon, like, beat them, too, you know. And it's like Brandon had a, you know, good Supercross season, and it's always, you know, you want to hopefully that these other guys still do good. But it's also really rewarding when we're able to, you know, be up there right with those guys.
Yeah. No, I was probably going to – that was, like, my next question is that it's probably cool to see, you know, your guys up there battling with guys that were once in your team and, you know, and the real deal, like the factory teams as well. Outdoors coming up this weekend, Hangtown. How's the prep going? I'm really excited to see your guys because we didn't really see Brandon much last year, or if at all, because of the injury. And then Hayes obviously coming on from Arena Cross. So it's exciting to see what these guys are going to do.
It is. And prep is going really well. You know, they've been straight in California right after Vegas and along with Scott testing and riding every day. And it's going really, really well. And the guys are super happy, and I think it's going into Hangtown for me and probably for the team in general is probably the best that we've ever been. You know, Jacob's, his hand is almost a mute issue at this point, and I think, you know, and we actually have a third rider for outdoors, Yusuke, from Japan.
Okay.
And he rode last year under another Yamaha team, and we're going to give him an opportunity this year with the same equipment, same bike, same everything as Brandon and Jacob. So this will be the first year that I'll have three 250s.
Oh.
And pretty excited.
Yeah, I remember him racing last year. I'm number 101, and so is he. So it was cool to see. And he put in a lot of top 20
results. Oh, that's cool.
Put in a lot of top 20 results, too. So that'll be awesome to see what he can do on your guys' equipment. I'm excited to see that, too.
Yeah. Yep, so he wasn't able to get the 101. It was taken, he's going to be 110. Fred Norris, yeah, he took it. So he'll be the 110, and he's out there in California testing and prepping with the guys, and he's been riding outdoors for quite some time. He went home for about 3 weeks to Japan in the end of March, but he's super prepared, and under the, you know, Doug Dubach is his trainer and his mentor here in the U.S. So he's equally as prepared. So I think we should have a good showing going into Hangtown.
That's really cool. Really awesome. I hear, I mean, obviously I'm not out there and not going to all the races, but I hear it's a lot tougher for teams going outdoors. How much tougher is it doing 12 rounds out in the grueling summer heat on 250s than it is for Supercross?
Oh, it's a world of difference. It's, you know, I mean, not, I mean, the elements, and I mean, obviously, you know, the Supercross season hasn't been the easiest weather-wise, and hasn't been the easiest on the bikes and everything, but hopefully it will balance out. I mean, and we'll have a, you know, good outdoor weather races, but, you know, as far as the bikes and whatnot, I mean, we obviously just have to prepare differently with additional parts for different things that, you know, you're just going to wear and tear and go through a lot more race fuel and go through a lot more graphics and all that kind of stuff. But I think we're just the most prepared going into this year outdoors than we ever have been. And I'm really more anxious to see how our bikes are outdoors and compared to the other guys, and our guys are just healthy and fit, so should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's awesome. And one last question before I let you go: which round of the outdoors are you looking most forward to, or which one's your favorite, and why?
I think Washougal has always been one of my favorites. I mean, the scenery and the mountain aspect and the track and the, you know, terrain and everything is always been my favorite. I probably, Bud's Creek is a close second, and Alex, he did really well at Bud's Creek that year, and it's always just kind of been one of my favorites on the round. But Washougal is probably my favorite to go to, and I try to always say every year I'm going to plan like a day before, a day after to go explore, but I never do it. It's in and out, but it's beautiful. I love it there.
Yeah, my dad more than me really wants to go there. We haven't been able to make it happen. We've been living in Florida forever, so it's probably the farthest one. But maybe one day we'll get out there.
You need to. It's And if you ever do make it, just plan to, like I said, go a little bit before or after. And you know, if you're, I mean, if there's so many like hiking trails and waterfalls and all the things that, I mean, growing up on the East Coast too, that you just don't see. And the weather usually, I mean, it's obviously, it's been bad in the past, like with rain, but usually it's a crisp, kind of a cooler air and a lot of moisture and dirt and everything. So it's a good place to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for doing this, Christina, and you enjoy the rest of your night.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D lubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. On the line with me right now, number 332, you saw him racing 250 East Coast Supercross. It's Dustin Winter. What's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Just saw on my way back from Houston, just went down there to pick up my race 450 for the outdoor season. Now that Supercross is over. So, just making moves and making it happen, man. Being a privateer isn't always easy, but, man, I do it for the love of the sport. So, yeah, just getting ready for outdoors as of right now.
Yeah, man, it's a real quick turnaround there. Just last week, Supercross is still going on, and you get one weekend off, and it's right back to the grind.
Yeah, man, 2 weeks. That's crazy. I know they give you for the winter guys, it worked out for them, and we had some break there to do a little bit of outdoor testing as well, but like you're saying, man, it's a turnaround, and you're right back into it. So I've been putting in a lot of motos and kind of working on my physical fitness just to be 100% prepared coming into this first round in Hangtown. I know the track's going to be brutal, man.
Yeah, now I heard you mentioned you picked up a race-ready 450. Why the switch to the bigger bike?
Yeah, man, just because it's going to be a little more reliable, and like a 250, it's hard to compete with the top brands, Cowie, Yamaha, and all those guys. So I just opted to go to the 450 just because, man, they're so fast off the showroom floor. I mean, so are the 250s. But the amount of work that they do, those things and how much I would have to spend to rebuild the motor and everything. So I opted out on the 450, and I'm excited, man. I'm a little bit bigger, and I think I suit the 450 well. So, yeah, I decided to get on it, and like I said, I've always been a little bit more of a 450 rider, and maybe the class isn't as deep, and maybe I have a little bit more of a chance to get up there and mix it up around the top 15, top 10. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense with what you said. I feel like from a privateer, if you're doing it full privateer, it's kind of easier to be more competitive, or at least a privateer 450 can be more competitive, like, against other 450s. Like you said, these 250s, they're super fast right off the showroom, but these teams put so much work into them and make them so much faster, and they're a lot less reliable. So in the long run, it'll probably cost you less money too.
Oh, yeah, big time. Like you said, the amount of work. I mean, shoot, I could probably go put a big bore kit in my race 250, which is cheating, and my bike may be a little faster than what Pro Circuit or Star Racing Yamaha is doing, man. It's unbelievable what those guys can get out of a bike horsepower-wise, and how the sports evolve so much. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, man, I'm excited to ride that 450. We might have done a little motor work, but man, I'm throwing a pipe on that thing, and I got my whole shot device on along with some suspension, and I'm gonna go line up. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting to watch, and I'm excited to watch you as well. So you driving all the rounds, or what's your program looking like?
Yeah, man, as of right now, I thought I was going to be able to get somebody to take my bikes, kind of coordinating with the EDR Yamaha team, mm-hmm. but some things fell through and the money wasn't there. So, yeah, as of right now, it's full private, man, and I'm not going to complain about it. I get to drive to every round, and I get to camp out of my van and travel the world along with work my butt off in the gym and ride a dirt bike and adventure new tracks that I've probably never been to since I've been riding since I was 3 years old. So no complaining, but yeah, I'm gonna drive to all the rounds. So it's gonna be a big effort, but man, I'm gonna look forward to it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's all about like the drive and the grind, and you just gotta embrace it, like you said. And you know, thinking about it, driving it all the time might sound like it sucks, but like you said, you get to ride your dirt bike on the weekends and see the whole country during the week driving. So you got to make the best out of it. With it being your rookie year, where do you want to be? Where do you expect to be? And which round are you looking most forward to?
Yeah, I'm coming into Hagerstown. I really want to be in that top 20. I feel like how I've been feeling on the bike. I'm really shooting for that. And with it, like within me, I really want to be in a top 15. But if not top 15, I better be in that top 20. But as the season progresses, and I've already talked to, say, Benny Bloss, man, my fitness is going to get better doing 2 30-minute motos every weekend. I'm going to get the hang of it. So, yeah, I'm looking to improve my result each weekend. So, yeah, really shooting for that top 15 by the end. I really, really would like to break a top 10. Man, the round I'm looking forward to most, maybe the not roughest track, I don't know yet. But, man, I think I'm kind of, yeah, it's going to be gnarly. Millville's a cool track.
You can't beat Redbud either, though, with just the atmosphere.
Yeah, Redbud, man, I hear that. I've never rode that track, and I hear it. Like you said, the atmosphere is crazy. Bust out that LaRocco's leap. So, yeah, it should be that one will be fun for sure.
Yeah, I went to Redbud in 2010. I was 16, and it was definitely eye-opening for me. Just it's insane. Like, it's one big party from Thursday to Sunday, so definitely cool. I think it's a lot of the riders' favorite for that reason. But talking about your Supercross rookie year, you rode for the EBR Yamaha team. We saw you in the main event in Daytona. All in all, are you happy with the way you rode and the way it went?
I'm going to say yes, but no. I had way more expectations for myself. I discussed it with my group, per se my dad, more than anything, and my goal was to make every single main and really work inside breaking that top 15. But like you said, it was my rookie year, and, dude, I learned a lot. Just, like, going out there and learning how you got to just get it down in practice, and there's no mess around time, and that's where I kill myself every weekend. I just wasn't figuring out how to get out there and just put in my laps. And when I did, I did really well. I made some, you know, 250 east-west shootouts. But, yeah, Daytona was really cool for me just to kind of be up there right in the mix of my heat race.
Yeah, I was running good in the main event
11th. But, and that is a little more outdoor-y, and that kind of suits my style because this was my first year of Supercross. Mm-hmm. But overall, I'm going to take the good with the bad and say it was a decent year. I'm really looking forward to next year. Kind of got a really good idea for everything. And when I come in to that first round, I know what's going on. So not a bad year, I'll have to say.
What was, like, the difference with, like, in your comfortability with the tracks and with racing Supercross from, you know, your first round, I think it was Minneapolis, and then the last round? How much did you, you know, get – how much more comfortable did you get out there?
That's where I felt like I just did not exceed for some reason, because my trainer's Robbie Raynard, mm-hmm. and all throughout the year, I had, like, Georgia, Nashville. I felt like I killed it. But a lot of other rounds, I feel like from that first round there, I think, it, like you said, Minneapolis, I feel like I almost got worse. I don't know if I started thinking about stuff too much, and it kind of played a role in it, because it was crazy because everybody was like, what were your nerves like that first round lining up on the gate? I'm not even kidding you. When I got up there for my heat race, I've never been so relaxed in my life. I was sitting there on the gate, and I said, get off the start, find out where you are, and ride your laps. And I was in, like, sixth for the longest time there on that my first race until I had a little mess up there in the woods. But it was up and down. I did get better. I did excel, and I learned it. But it was just a hit and a miss whether I was feeling or not, because, you know, Supercross, man, you got to be precise.
Yeah.
It's not like an outdoor track where you can kind of just hang on, and if you kind of mess up, you know you're probably gonna pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
Supercross, you come up a little short, or you do one. I mean, look at Forkner, man. He kid's unbelievable, and he's awesome in Wolves, and have one little mess up at end of the season. So yeah, you just got to be smart, and no, I definitely learned a lot though for sure.
Yeah, and like you said, just take the good with the bad and the bad with the good and build on it for next year. You mentioned, right, rode for the EBR Yamaha team. How did that, you know, whole deal come about? How did you get hooked up with that team?
Yeah, so I came into the season going to do a total privateer effort. I had Robert Rayner build me a motor and everything, and I was getting ready. And, man, we were like only 3 weeks out. And it just got brought up from a mechanic. I don't know if you know who Chandler Baker is, but he rides for the EBR team, and I know his mechanic really well. And he, you know, we've always been pretty good friends. And he just asked me, you know, what did I have going on? Because he was talking to Josh at EBR for me, and I told him everything that I was going to do. And he said, well, let me holler at him. And they really wanted me to do one more year of amateurs, and I kind of went it over with my group. Robbie Rayner was like, you could win Loretta's if you really put your head down. But my dad and I agreed too. I spent too many years in pro amateur. Like, yeah. That would have been like my third or fourth year. So we decided to, we were still going to privateer it, just do our own motor and everything. And we told him. And then all of a sudden, Josh, EBR said, well, I'm looking for a third guy for my Supercross team. And that was a crazy big help, man, because they traveled my bikes, and just the team there is pretty unbelievable, man, just how they put their best foot forward on everything. So, yeah, it came about from my good friend Eric Edwards, a mechanic of mine now too. And, yeah, once I got that deal, man, I ran with it for sure.
That's awesome. And like you said, just the whole team aspect really helps a lot. Your teammate's Josh Cartwright. He's been at it for a couple of years now. Then Ramey Alves got a ton of speed. He's actually from down my area in South Florida. It's his second year. How much were you able to, like, talk with them and kind of help you out with your rookie year?
Yeah, those guys were a big help. Just getting to know them and taking their advice. Built good friendships with them. And like you said, Ramey, that was his second year in Cartwright's, almost kind of turning into a veteran. And just the little things and, the in-betweens, hydration, and it was definitely cool. They're a big help there at the first round. We were, I think, fifth and sixth or sixth and seventh, whatever it was. And, man, we were moving. And Josh Cartwright ran a rider real hard into the corner and ran him off the track. And we came back to the pits and immediately walks over to that kid that was pitted next to us and goes and apologizes to him. And he comes back and he goes, Josh Cartwright goes, well, that's what you do in Supercross after you do something like that, so they don't do it back to you. I was like, all right, there's the tip of the day.
Yeah. I had a Cartwright on probably about a month or two ago, and seemed like a real cool kid. You know, I admired, you know, him going to Florida State and racing, you know, Supercross. That must have been really tough. So seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, the dude graduated college. I mean, I can hardly, with how much we do, keep myself moving throughout the day. So for him to accomplish all that, and yeah, like you said, he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's also a super cool kid, and he helped me out a lot this year for sure.
Right, man, that's awesome to hear. So you're riding down at Rainers. Who you kind of ride with down there? I know there's a bunch of dudes at that place.
Usually it's a little more busy around this time of the year, but right now I got Justin Bogle and Benny Bloss to kind of really compare myself off of, you know, because they've been around for a second and they've done good. But there's also some good riders there. Dalton Dyer, he's kind of somebody on the come up, along with other kids, Tyler Lowe, Mason Benson, Caden Amrine, all really good riders that are staying out there. So good group of people out there for sure.
Yeah, and Bogle, man, he really came on strong there at the end of the year. I really hope he can get, you know, on a ride for the whole outdoors and see what he can do, because I think people forget, even, like, was it 2 years ago, he won an overall at Buds Creek. So I'm sure that's really good to surround yourself with guys like Bogle and obviously Benny now coming back from injury.
Yeah, no doubt it. I was, like you said, that was crazy. Bogle just, man, he kind of came out of nowhere. He kind of was not on a downhill slope, but one day he was just frustrated with everything. Mm-hmm. And he got real pissed off, man, and said, I don't even want to race him. Why can't he get a start? And all of a sudden this dude's like getting hole shots and getting fourth places and beating Tomax in heat races in Colorado. So, yeah, that was crazy. So, yeah, good for him. And, I'm sure he's going to be a strong guy there at the outdoors for sure.
Yeah, let's take it way back here, Dustin. A question I always like to ask my guests on the show is, how did you first get into riding dirt bikes?
Yeah, I was real young, man, probably three. My dad bought me a PW. He rode. He told me, you know, him and his I was very fortunate. He told me him and his brother used to have to go around and go on just a dirt bike. Mm-hmm. He taught me a lot of when I was three. Right out in the street, I got on that thing and grabbed a handful of throttle and ran into a curb and went open. And my mom said she'd never seen my dad so white before. And I guess it just stuck with me, man. I was a little daredevil when I was a kid, running around town, jumping my bicycle. And, yeah, I grew up and it stuck, man. This is an awesome sport. But, yeah, I was real young. Can't remember. But, yeah, definitely a family effort there to get me into it.
That's funny. It's a real, you know, similar to my story as well. Like, started off super young, ran it right into a fence, kind of a little daredevil as well. My mom still hates it to this day. So it's always cool to hear the different stories. You know, I forget who I was talking to, but I think it was Henry Miller. They just went to a race at Millville and there was a bike for sale there and he bought it. And the next thing you know, like 5 or 6 years later, he's, you know, riding at Loretta's and stuff. So it's cool to hear the different stories.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome, man.
So you're from Kansas. What was the riding scene there like? A lot of tracks. I drove through Kansas this summer going out to Colorado, and I can tell you, Dustin, there ain't too much out there.
No, man, not at all. It's a flat state. There's this track called Jeep Cycle Club, and it was a hot spot when I was younger, man. It'd be Saturday night races. On the Supercross track, and I mean, you couldn't find a spot to sit in the bleachers, but it kind of died off as I got older. They still put on great events and stuff. That was a decent track, and then, man, Bar to Bar, I think they've been the number one voted Kansas track in Kansas for, like, the past, like, I don't even know how many years, and man, that dirt there is just, it's absolutely phenomenal. They've held some area qualifiers now and stuff, so... Like you said, not the hottest spot for riding dirt wise. You could almost compare it to California, how hard packed and blue groove it gets. But there's just no elevation, so it's not the best. And nobody with, you know, big money was able to go out there and build a milestone or, you know, nothing like that. So, but I can't complain. It seems that the later, like in these outdoors motos, it gets hard packed and it's hard to ride, and that's what I grew up on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can't say it didn't benefit me for sure.
So, did you kind of like grow up riding with the, like, I guess Kevin Moran's? I know he's from Kansas, even Faulkner's, Missouri. Seems to be some fast guys come out of there.
Yeah, right around that area, like you said, Moran's. When I was younger, it seems like there was more in it from Kansas, and then I don't know, they just kind of parted their ways, but. Yeah, like you said, I grew up, Faulkner is a little bit younger than me, but we still ended up racing in races together. And then Benny Block, he's from Missouri as well. And yeah, the Okies, Chase Martier, yeah. And there was a long list there for a while. I always grew up watching Colt Nichols and Justin in the older class, but yeah, we always only had to travel a state or two away, and I mean the competition was it was crazy.
Yeah, so what part of Kansas are you? Are you like more towards like Oklahoma or kind of north like Colorado, Nebraska?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more south. I don't know if you know where Wichita is.
Yeah, yep.
I'm just in a small town about 20 minutes from there. So yeah, which is nice because the more you go south, the better the dirt, the more tracks there is. I went up north too, and there's killer tracks, man. Right there in the Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, it's a little bit further for me. But yeah, there's still some badass places to ride there as well.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome. So, did you do you mentioned you said this was probably going to be like your third year amateur pro if you didn't come up. So, I'm guessing you did the whole Loretta's. Ponca probably wasn't too far either and all that.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
Oh, so you did the whole Loretta's thing every year and Ponca too as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was cool when it was like Ponca the week before. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't like it because it was like, you know, literally you did the whole week and then you had like 2 or 3 days off and you went straight to practice in Loretta's. But yeah, for the longest time, I made it to Loretta's 9-11 class on 85. And that was kind of like a breakthrough for me. And we went, we did the Ponca, then we did Loretta's, and man, it went for a long streak for me, like 4 or 5 years. For some reason, I struggled really bad to get to Loretta. So we only did Ponca, which was cool, and it's kind of died off, but it seems to be coming back. But I don't know if it'll ever get back to where it was. But yeah, growing up racing Ponca and Loretta's was definitely an experience for sure.
And who like at those big nationals, obviously, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you had Moran's and Forkner, them at the kind of local stuff around there. But at the big nationals, did you kind of grow? Who'd you grow up with, or who'd you ride with every year until this point?
Yeah, like I had my buddy like Ross Westhoff. He kind of got out of it a little bit, but he was like probably my buddy growing up at the track. But like when we went to those type of nationals, man, I was racing around with. The fast kids would be more like Blake Green. Man, it's funny now because it's kind of a different little group that kind of, I'm sure Blake Green still hauls. I haven't heard about him for a while, but like he was winning there for a while for the longest time. He was hard to beat. I'm trying to think of some other names that were up there in the mix for a while. I mean, you had Chase Martier. He was always a fast one. Let's see, Alexander Fry. He was always on it. But yeah, kind of right around that was when I was going to the Nationals. Those kids were always the ones right there up at the top.
All right, that's cool, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck at Hangtown and the rest of the Nationals. But before I let you go, who do you want to thank?
Yeah, I definitely want to give a big shout-out to the team I'm riding for, EBR Yamaha, along with all of our sponsors, Answer Racing, 100%, Yamaha, Dunlop, X-Trig, Recluse. Definitely want to give a big shout-out to my mom and dad for their continuous support, and everybody that helps out. It's a team effort, and yeah, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Awesome, man. Of course, like I said, best of luck, and I'll be at the Florida National, so I'll make sure to swing by and say what's up.
Yes, sir. That'll be cool. It'll be cool to meet you, man.
All right, man. You have a safe drive out to California, and have a good night.
All right. You too. Thanks, sir.
See you. We'll be right back.
cry. She did a swing, man. She can't help. She don't need.